Excuse me, recordings have started.
Thank you, Aubrey. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the BC members call on May 14, 2015. On the call today, we have Elissa Cooper, Steve Del Bianco, Jinsam Olufoye, Paul Mitchell, Ron Androff, Kate McGowan, Andy Graves, Andy Abrams, Andrew Harris, G. Scott Evans, Tim Chen, Cecilia Smith, Ellen Blaker, Chris Wilson. We have apologies from David Fairs, Philip Cohen, Stefan Van Gelder, Alain Bidron, Brian Huseman, Andrew Mack, Caroline Nguyen, and Mahmoud Latouf, and myself, Yolanda Jimenez. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Elissa.
Thanks, Yolanda, and welcome everyone today. I don't have a lot to cover, but I do want to give you a heads up that I'll be sending out a request to you to ask you which topics we should focus on at the upcoming meeting in Buenos Aires. And as soon as we get some more finalized agendas from the CSG in terms of who we're planning to meet with, this particular meeting is being organized by the ISPs in terms of the CSG meeting. I'll send that out as well. But before we kind of move on, is there any other business or any other items we should put on our agenda for today that people would like to talk about?
This is Angie. I have one.
Oh, sure. Go ahead, Angie.
Hi. Yeah, Angie Graves here. I'm in the SCI as a BC representative there. That's the Standing Committee on Improvements Implementation. We're looking for an alternate, and I'd just like to speak about that very quickly for a moment. Thank you.
Okay. Why don't we, since you've kind of started, maybe you could tell us a little about what kinds of things you're working on and what the time expectations are.
Thank you. Yes. The SCI is tasked by the GNSO Council, and I did note that Ron Androff is here, and he has served on the SCI for much longer than I. I served as alternate, and thanks to Ron, I have a much better idea about the SCI than when I joined, but now I'm moving into the primary position, and we have an open space for an alternate. So in terms of what we do and how long it takes, to answer your question, Elissa, thank you. I thought I heard somebody's voice. Sorry. we are tasked by the GNSO Council on mainly procedural issues, so it's very specific what we're tasked with, and generally it takes anywhere from a few weeks to several months to sort out what the guidance would be, which is the response back to the council on whatever procedural item it is. And I'll just give one as an example. We did a few issues in the recent months, and one was reconsideration of a motion that had been put aside by the council. What happens if a motion is dismissed and the individual or group that brought it originally would like for it to be reconsidered? Under what conditions can they do that? The passage of time or rewording of the motion, et cetera. And we don't really generally meet more than once every 2 months other than that. And Ron, I'd love for you to add anything if you have it.
Thanks, Angie. Ron Andrew for the record. Well, I think you said it right. Basically, the workload will expand and contract depending on how much activity the GNSO sends to the SCI, but it's really about looking at things and taking the extra time needed just to kind of flatten out the rough edges. But I highly recommend any one of the members to join Angie as the alternate, because it is very interesting work, and it's a very collegial effort that takes place within that group. Thank you very much.
Thanks. So is there anyone who would be interested in acting as an alternate? It sounds like you meet typically every other month or so. Is there anyone on the call that would be interested in her?
Or even interested in learning more? Thank you.
I'm waiting for that rush of hands to raise, but I don't...
Yes, in fact, at least this is Ron again. It's really critical that we do have two, an alternate and a primary. Both individuals don't have to be at every call, but it is important that we have an alternate and primary. At this point, I think the BC is one of the few constituencies that is undermanned, as it were. So if someone could just step up and pitch in and give Angie a hand, that would be really helpful. Thank you.
Well, perhaps people can think about it, and I'll send out another reminder on the list, and if you have interest, that would be great. So thank you for that, Angie. Any other items that we should make sure we cover on today's call?
Lisa?
Yes.
This is Jay Scott. I do think we need to offer our thanks to Steve and Phil for, while they weren't representing the BC yesterday, I think that they presented some fairly reasonable and even-keeled comments to the committee yesterday in the hearings on the Hill. And I also think we need to briefly discuss the letter that Mark talked about.
Yes. I agree. And perhaps we can do that in the policy discussion coming up next. Any other items? I know Steve has to get through security, or maybe he's already past security. He's traveling. Steve, can you take us through policy, and can we discuss yesterday's hearings and also have a bit of a discussion about the Vox Populi letter that was sent to ICANN? Did we lose Steve?
He's probably exhausted after back-to-back hearings.
I would
guess so. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes. Is that you, Steve?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yes. Yeah. Okay, we can hear you.
Great. So I would cover the Vox Populi legal threat and the letters that BC and ICC have put in. And at least I'll let you manage that queue since I can't see Adobe. Just
oh, sure. But yeah.
Sorry, should I put the policy calendar on? Sorry, should I put the policy calendar on?
I think you should, but I also see Jay Scott's hand raised. Jay Scott?
Well, I just think that there has been a letter raised, although we have not received one specifically. We have seen the one that was sent to ICANN, and I think it's clear that they're going to be extremely aggressive. And, you know, while I find it terribly ironic that the group that swears that the reason trademark owners shouldn't be upset is because they're just wanting everyone to engage in a healthy discussion and criticism, that when people start criticizing them, they threaten a lawsuit. So I'll put that out there for you for how great their plan works. But I do think it belies their legal strategy, and so I would suggest that from now on, when anyone speaks of their dissatisfaction with this business practice or with .sucks, that you express it in the form of an opinion, because opinions are not actionable. So if you were to say, in my opinion, I think what they're doing is terrible. So those are the kinds of things you need to do, and don't talk about them. Talk about the effect of what they're doing. And those two things should at least soften any attempt they might make to come after you or the leadership of this organization.
Thanks, Jay Scott. I don't know if people saw Greg Shatton's response, but he came out with and actually Phil Corwin had sent around a link to that article. But he comes out, his comments are exactly to that effect, that it's concerning that they're talking about sort of the ability to speak freely and their actions are pretty much have the potential to have a chilling effect. Other thoughts or comments or questions?
Lisa, it's Steve. Can I get in the queue?
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. We couldn't really hear you before.
Sorry about that. So I did notice that in the legal business.
Steve, can you hear me because you're breaking up?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You want to try again?
Can you? And just interrupt me if it's busy and I'll give up. I wanted to mention
Steve, you're really breaking up.
All right, never mind. I'll put it in the chat when I get in.
Okay. Will you be in a place that you'll be able to take us through the calendar, or should we go through the calendar on our own?
I'm actually sitting in a lounge now. Maybe I need to redial in because if the connection's no good, I don't know what else to do.
Okay, you're fine now. So maybe however you're sitting now works.
Yeah, I'm getting you much clearer now.
And you just moved. Maybe try calling back in.
Would you like me to ask the operator to call you, Steve?
While we're doing that, maybe let's jump ahead in the agenda a little bit, and hopefully Steve can come back on. So can we move on to you, Jimson? Do you have any updates from finance and operations?
Thank you, Elisa. Good day, everyone. Let me apologize in regard to the background. Maybe you might be hearing some background noise. But basically, our operation is running smoothly. The onboarding of the lender is adding some more value to our operation. And we do see the effect of that down the line, especially with regard to a website upgrade and migration into adaptive design mode. And I also expect some feedback from the budget proposal for FY16 for BC. So it's still in the area of how we can draw down, our healthy budget for account plans. So I will really want to recommend that everyone take a look at the budget draft that I sent here. So apart from that, I think there is nothing from me. Thank you, Elisa.
All right, thanks. Let's see if Steve is now available. I see he's on the Adobe Connect. Steve, can you hear us? Yolanda, are you calling? Is the operator calling back out to him?
I don't have Steve's number.
Oh, okay.
But I can ask the operator. I'll ask Steve his number, and I'll ask the operator to call Steve.
Okay. Let's just give him a second here.
Well, in the meantime, Elisa, this is Jay Scott. I do want to go back to the hearings real quick and just say that I watched all of them, and I found what I found most telling was some of Phil's information about. Is Steve there?
Yes. I think he is.
Okay, I'll turn it over to him.
Steve, are you there? Okay, Jay Scott, I think you should continue with your thought. So in terms of what you thought was most interesting?
I thought it was most interesting what Phil said about the, you know, the claims notices so far outweighing the registrations, and that his suspicion, or that he either knows or suspects that, you know, people are gaming that system to find out what trademarks are registered in the clearinghouse so that they can then make them premium names. I found that. The funny thing that I thought that no one really brought up, and no one has pulled the bell out on top of ICANN, is, you know, I've been involved in this for a long time, and everyone kept telling me we need new GTLDs because there are no short, snappy domains left in .com, and all the small businesses can't get domains.
I can't connect.
Right? Well, the truth is all the registries and registrars have made all those smart, cute, quippy domains auctionable or $25,000. So the whole point of helping out mom and pop get a low barrier to entry totally washed down the toilet. And I don't think anybody's talking about that. The fact that that was one of the main purposes for this. I thought it was also interesting the way the LegitScript guy took after Momentous and pointed out the fact that many of the people that they have problems with find havens at Momentous registrars. And
hi,
Owen,
Steve. Can you hear me?
Yes, Steve, we can hear you.
Go ahead, Steve.
All right. Yeah, so I'm very sorry about that. It usually doesn't happen, but did you conclude your discussion on the Vox Populi?
We're still kind of in the middle of it.
Okay, great. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. Are there any – so I know that a number of people probably listened in or actually attended. Are there other questions or thoughts or comments about the hearings that we should discuss or that people want to know? Jim Baskin.
Yeah, thanks, Elisa. I had a little bit of a concern, that not on the Vox Populi piece of it, but on the statements made by, I don't remember his name, but the fellow that was representing the other two-thirds of the IANA functions with the...
Bill Woodcock.
Yeah, that basically they had done that, their work was done, and they were ready to move forward, and he was really pushing strongly to separate the pieces, and Steve, I think you had... responded pretty well to that, but I am concerned, and I'd like to know more about why those people think that they need to move forward more quickly. Is there a problem they're facing today that they're going to fix, or are they trying to somehow derail or change the way things are moving otherwise? Any thoughts?
I see Steve has his hand raised. Maybe it's in response to that.
Thank you, Elisa. I did talk to Bill Woodcock before the hearing, and I pressed him on this point, that he wants to go forward with IETF and the numbers organization, and we're saying then, no, we ought to do all of them together to maintain the leverage necessary to get ICANN to accept all these tough accountability measures that we're trying to impose on them. He said, I have some sympathy for that, but the numbers and protocol people feel like they're ready and want to move quickly. I pressed them on why. What problem could possibly motivate them to get out of the status quo? They had nothing to offer. So we are going to have to try to work with them to understand why. It doesn't hurt them to wait, but in fact it helps all of us if they wait. I'll add one other item. As you know, that ICANN is pushing back hard on the annual renewal of the numbers and IETF contract, saying that they don't want to have a situation where they might have to give up the IANA functions if customers wanted to move them. So the only possible way that separation of IETF and numbers from naming works
is if they're able to establish a useful precedent for us,
such as getting
ICANN to agree
that the numbers and
protocol guys can terminate.
So since there's an echo, I'll just stop there and stop torturing everyone. Thank you.
I think the operator's working on that. Thank you, Steve. Any other thoughts, questions, comments? All right. I think we should actually try to turn it over to Steve to take us through the policy calendar. So, Steve?
Just type into the chat if
the echo is unbearable.
There are six items listed on the recently filed, and the BC again comes through with lots of fantastic comments on different public comment periods, as well as the two letters. But when you scroll down on this policy calendar, the current comment page is full of items that we need to comment on. There are two that are relatively urgent, one that closes May 16th, that's the first one, one that closes May the 20th, which is the second one.
On the first one, which is
IRTP Part C, grateful that Susan Kawaguchi drafted a comment, but it's extremely preliminary. Scott is going to take a little opportunity to look at it when he finds a little bit of time. So the draft has been circulated for everyone, but we need comments from BC members because they close on the 16th, which is day after tomorrow. Is there anyone who wants to add to IRTP Part C or has a comment on Susan's draft?
Hey, Steve, this is Susan. I just joined the call. I'll try to get something out in the next few hours because I did get a little bit more information. I just haven't had time to draft anything.
Susan, that would be so helpful because there are three areas in your draft where you highlight in red.
Right.
That are questions for discussion. The way the BC comment period works is when people put questions and just sort of comments into a draft, it isn't as if somebody feels compelled to respond and answer the questions. It's better for people to draft actual language for others to consider than just to raise questions.
Yeah, I get that, but I didn't have comments because I didn't understand what was going on. I have a better, clearer picture now after talking to James Bladell, and it's probably not something we want to respond or support. So anyway, I'll try to get some language out without questions.
Susan, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And Susan, this is Jay Scott. I saw your comment after talking to James, and I agree with you that is not something we want to support.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a short comment.
That would be fine.
Okay.
Thank you, Susan and Jay Scott. The second item is the cross-committee working group, or CWD, on the IANA stewardship transition. Those comments are due May 20th, early next week. We circulated a draft already that Aparna had worked on and I added to, but there are many, many questions in the public comment template.
And there's a pretty good chance that we both have missed
many of those questions. Don't get some more input from other members.
Claude Shelley of AT&T was very helpful
in doing some markup and adding several comments, and that's in the attachment, the second attachment to today's policy calendar.
I'll take a cue now on those who want to comment on the naming functions transition proposal.
Let me ask this.
Is there anyone who intends to read it and comment on it before the May 20th deadline?
Yeah, this is Ellen. I will read it. I'm sure it's great.
This is about the naming. So anybody in the business of having even a .brand TLD
is going to be
a customer
of the IANA naming functions, and therefore might have something to say about the way that the customers can do reviews escalate problems, and even, start to invoke the procedure
to revoke the right of ICANN to run the IANA functions. Go ahead, Andrew.
Thanks, Steve. Just to note that I did send in additional language supporting making sure that we offered support for the notion of separation. Thought that was important to make sure we got that out front. So sent that in just a few minutes before this call.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate that. Yolanda, would you be able to scroll the list lower? So items 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Yolanda, you're off of, channel 1. This channel 1, thank you.
All of these
items give us quite a bit more time. The earliest on there is the 3rd of June. And for that one, I will take the lead of drafting something and circulating it, since I'm the rep of the CSG on that group. Are there any volunteers who want to sign up for 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7, the ones that are on the screen right now?
Do you see that Ellen Blackler says that she'll engage on number 7?
That's fantastic, Ellen. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to need more volunteers than just that, because there's quite a bit of work to do in the walk up to Buenos Aires. Jay Scott, thank you. Ron Andrew, with your expertise at Dot Travel, it might be some unpleasant memories, but what do you think about taking on number five.
Thanks, Steve. Unfortunately, I'm just too up to my ears in other things right now that I would do that. I don't see that there's going to be a whole lot about the renewal agreement on Dot Travel we really need to comment on. I will have a look at it, though, and come back to the group and if there is any reason. Otherwise, that's one of those things I think we could probably pass on through. But I will have a look at that and come back to you and let you know. Okay?
Ron, thank you very much.
Yes.
That's it for the policy calendar part on Channel 1. I would like to turn it over to Susan to cover the council, which is Channel 2.
Just for the record, Andrew Harris and Alex Deacon also said that they would help with number 7. And Jay Scott, he said he would take number 4.
Can I ask, this is Ellen Blackwell, can I ask a clarifying question? Do we not have anything started on the accountability comment? I thought we did. But maybe I'm just confusing the many groups that are commenting. So I think that...
I don't know. Steve, do you know?
I'm sorry that I was unable to hear that question.
Do we not have anything started on the CCWG accountability comment?
Oh, thank you. That was the first one I mentioned because I'm the CSG rep on that group, and I will take responsibility of giving the first draft of BC comments, and I will get them around early next week.
Super. Thank you.
But I'll also take it on that you're interested. So if you want to send me your thoughts ahead of time, I'd be happy to work them in.
Okay, I will.
I see also Andrew Harris has his hand raised. And he does not now. So I think you were turning it over to Susan, Steve?
That's right.
Okay. Susan?
Okay. So it's pretty full agenda, and to be honest, most of these topics we've covered in the past, but we'll cover again. If there's specific points that you would like the GNSO Council to really think about on the CWG on IANA naming functions and the accountability, then please let me know. one of the things that was interesting, and I'll forward to the group, was a document about the new ICANN meeting strategy that'll be hitting sooner than later. I mean, 2016 blink away, in my opinion. And so there's more detail on that. So I will send that document out. I should have done that already. And so if anybody has comments on that, because it's really, first of all, it's pretty confusing, and then how these meetings are going to work and how we're going to get our work done at the meetings, how there'll be time. So that's about all I have.
All right, great. Any questions or comments, anything for Susan? Now, I know David Ferris is actually not on the call with us today. He was unable to be here. But as I mentioned at the top of the call, we are working through the schedule for the BA meeting with the CSG, and we've already got a number of meetings lined up for our CSG meetings, but we don't have a sort of final schedule for that. But as soon as we have that nailed down, we'll be sure to send that out. I don't know if there are any other topics or items for us to discuss.
I think Steve's trying to say we have Channel 4 to go through.
Steve?
He was cutting in and out, but I think that's PC statements and responses during public meetings.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Okay, go ahead, Steve.
Great, thanks a lot. Yeah, this probably isn't going to work very well, but I'm happy to take questions on Channel 4, which is the two congressional hearings. I included links to both hearings. They include all testimony that was given, as well as video of the entire hearings, and it's a grueling affair to listen to all 4 hours, 4.5 hours, and I can tell you it was pretty grueling to stand there and answer questions for 4.5 hours, but overall I think it went very well. For those of us who believe we ought to proceed with the transition but use the leverage opportunity to get the accountability powers that we've been designing, both in the CWG and CCWG, I'm happy to take any questions about the hearings, if you wish.
Steve, what was the tenor in the room after both hearings?
Jay Scott, can you hear me?
Yes, I
can now. Does anyone not hear Steve? Because I'm not hearing.
Yeah, no, I can't. Steve, we can't hear you.
Is there any way, Steve, you could just type us out a short report about sort of what the feeling was in sort of the hallways as you were, how everyone felt, what you were hearing from people? The one thing I heard from someone was that after the first hearing, they looked over and it looked like Jamie Hedlund looked as if he'd been kicked in the stomach. So... And Jamie is the government relations guy for ICANN. I felt like clearly, this is my perspective, that it's clear the Republicans are not thrilled with the transition plan, but I didn't hear anybody say that they needed to stop it. What I heard was most of the panelists agreeing that September 30th deadline is completely unrealistic. I think it was Phil Corwin or maybe Steve that suggested that perhaps a six-month extension was needed, but that we were on the right track. And then there was grumbling about the way ICANN has set up the public comment period. I think Phil has made this comment more than once. You know, we've got a draft report and no opportunity to comment when they put out a final report, and that's just unacceptable. And I think that point was made yesterday. But I didn't hear anyone say, stop, this shouldn't happen. I think there was some alarms raised about the role of the Government Advisory Committee and how ICANN was sort of playing over them. I thought Steve did a very clever job because
he basically took the dot such problem and put it through the stress test that he has been advocating, showing how we probably would never have gotten to this point had we had sort of an accountability mechanism in place, one that he's working on with the others to put together, which I thought was kind of clever because it highlighted how it could work in a better fashion. And I think Steve also highlighted, but the main concern is that we fear that the board will just ignore whatever recommendations put toward forward to them. But I didn't hear anyone say the transition shouldn't happen and the U.S. government should continue oversight.
Jason, can you hear me? Steve,
you're really warbled, so unfortunately we can't really hear you. Maybe if you could send out over the list any additional thoughts or comments, that would be the best way to handle it.
This is Jay Scott. I'd be interested in anyone else's perspective if they watched it.
This is Chris Wilson from 21st Century Fox. Jay Scott, I would agree with your assessment, having been actually sitting in the room myself. I can attest that I think there was a general, but frankly, at both hearings, I sat in both hearings, and you know, I think the tenor was that there's a lot of more work to be done, but that we're on the right track. I think certainly in the second hearing, there had been some more stronger push from certain Republicans about whether this transition was smart and at all. I think there was more of a recognition that it was A, going to happen, and B, that there was things that were, you know, the wheels were in motion. I don't think, you know, no one's set to say, you know, all systems go. But I think there was a lot of interesting points made and anecdotes shared about why we're on the right track, but still have a lot of work left to be done. And I think no one was claiming that this transition needs to stop, and the status quo needs to be reinstated. I think there was all consensus among all that we're moving right along. So I think your assessment is spot on.
Thank you so much, Chris, for sharing that. Thoughts from others who were in attendance, or comments, or any other questions for those that were?
Hey, Lisa, this is Ron speaking.
Yeah, go ahead, Ron.
I just wanted to say that I, too, felt very much similar to the last two speakers. This was a very difficult path to cross here, in so much as you had a very large number of congressmen and present. Often you see these hearings, there's only two or three, and there was a large number of them present. So clearly this is a topic that's very at the top of their list. And I think that all of our guys, whether it was our own team in the BC, Steve Metallitz, May Lin, others from IPC, I think everyone did a very good job of managing that very, very dangerous path to make sure everyone knew that we're doing the best we can with this experiment. And I think Steve Metallitz, and I noted it in the BC list the other day, Steve Metallitz's comment about this is an experiment and we're doing the best we can with it, I think that really came home for a lot of people that this is not a perfect thing. There's no such thing like it in the world. So for all things being equal, I think we're doing a good job, and I think our guys that were at the table did a fine job, and I'm very, very proud of them. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Ron. Andrew.
Thanks. Just want to mention from Amazon's perspective, we, of course, testified as well. And, you know, we're obviously very pleased to be able to have the opportunity to tell our unique story. And we're also very pleased with the attention that Paul got from a number of the members and chance to talk about what happened. But also just wanted to echo what Chris and others were saying, that we definitely came away with the sense that, and this you know, mirrors as well of other conversations we had, is that the people aren't really standing in the way of the transition, and that the accountability process in particular, but also the CWG process, is making good progress. And I think that as long as everything is accepted and put in place, that it should be in good shape. And that's what we're picking up from basically what we heard at the hearing and what the conversations we've had. So thanks.
Thanks, Andrew. Any other comments or perspectives or questions? All right. Any other items of business or any other topics people want to take some time and discuss on the call today, or things that we should be thinking about as a group or should be considering? All right. Hearing none, I would like to give you 20 minutes back of your day, and we'll plan on having our call in the next 2 weeks, and you will receive an invite from Yolanda. In the meantime, if there are other items or topics or ideas that you have, take them to the list, and we'll have discussion there. Otherwise, I look forward to speaking with you next time. And, again, thank you all so much for joining.
Thank you.
Thanks.